coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
It is the Hagman Report for today. Welcome to Hagman, where truth can't be silenced. I want to say thank you so very much for all who tune in, all who listen. Thank you incredibly. Thank you. I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of news and information to cover today. My guest coming out of the gate is our own analyst, Randy Taylor. You haven't heard much from Randy recently, have you? And there's a reason for that, because just so everyone knows, what you see here is a platform that we use, obviously, to disseminate information, news, and things, research products that we have, investigative products that we have that we uncover. We don't parrot the news necessarily. We go over headlines, but we don't parrot the news or just give you information that you could get through a few mouse clicks. You know, it's just not that way. So what we do have are people like Randy Taylor who are deeply engaged and involved in finding things out, whether it's about Antifa, Black Lives Matter, or any subject of import. There it is. All right. Now, having said that, a couple of things that we're going to be talking about. Donald Trump's chances. Do we still believe in Donald Trump? And think about this. Within the next 4 months, we're going to have an election. And who are the candidates, the viable candidates, going to be? You've got on the one side Donald Trump and Pence. On the other side, you've got whoever. They say it's Biden. Okay, let's just go with that. It's Biden. Now what happens after on and after Election Day? That's my question. What happens if Donald Trump wins? What happens if Joseph Biden wins, or whoever that placeholder is? I was speaking with Randy Taylor this past weekend and throughout the days leading up to today. Here's what's going to happen. We'll tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be problems, big problems. It doesn't matter. There will be problems. Now, it matters in the larger sense because, obviously, let me compare it this way. It's you either give the country over to the left by way of Biden. You say, hey, you know what? Donald Trump, he didn't keep those promises. Hell with him. I ain't voting for him. I'm done. I'm not voting for him. Or you vote for Donald Trump. I'm not telling you what to do. This is the only two things I can see. Assuming, of course, a couple of things will stipulate that A, whoever is the winner and whoever is the loser will accept the election results, right? You got to accept them, right? Well, I guess you don't necessarily. Ultimately, you do, one way or another. Kind of like, you know, we'll do it the easy way or the hard way. But you got the choice to make. You're going to go with President Trump, or you're going to go with sleepy, creepy, smell the hair, touchy-feely Joe Biden. And who's going to be behind Biden? I have my theories. Look, I believe we're going to see a Hillary-Obama combination at some point in that leftist, neo-Marxist, neoliberal camp. They'll rise. So that's what we're faced with in 4 months. Assuming we have an election. Now, people have said that. How many times have you heard that? Oh my gosh, you heard that in 2016, heard that in 2008 and 2012, and heard that in 2000. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, right? Crazy, nuts people. people. Oh, assuming we have an election. Well, how much has changed from 2008 to today? 12 years. 12 years. A lot's changed. Look out your window. Pick up a newspaper, assuming they're still around. Turn on the network news. A lot's changed. Oh, by the way, the propaganda behind COVID, the corona, Chinese Party corona virus. Maybe we'll address that. Alex Jones and Owen and others, they did a really good 2 minute 26 second video about the fraud that is the coronavirus. And, you know, look, it exists, okay? It's a real thing. And yes, it's problematic. But it can be a real thing, but not what they tell you it is. So just keep that in the back of your mind. So with all of this going on, and here I'll just get to the bottom line here. With all of this going on, sometimes you have to bring people in from out of the shadows, right? When are you going to do it? When it's too late? No. When it's operationally problematic? No. So in discussions this weekend and throughout the last couple of days I had with Randy Taylor, we decided to bring him in from out of the shadows. That's the setup for this. His background is intelligence. His background is analysis. There it is. It's time to bring him in from the shadows and let's talk. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir? Is this thing on?
This afternoon, actually.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, the first part was cut off, so I'm not sure. Let's do this again. From the top, right? I love live show. Okay. Bringing Randy Taylor in from the shadows. Randy Taylor, Hagman Report analyst, investigative analyst in deep intelligence. Randy, how are you, sir?
I am very good today. How are you, Doug?
Good. Very good. Now I'm fine.
Am I coming in loud and clear?
5x5. Yes, you
Perfect.
Are.
Perfect. Perfect.
So, I don't know.
Here we are, very close to Independence Day.
Will this be our last?
Oh, God, I don't know. I think our forefathers would be turning over in their graves watching us.
Man, I think they're spinning like rotisserie chickens. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah. Yep. This is not what they envisioned.
No, not in the least. No.
Not even close.
No. You know, a republic, if you can keep it.
That's the point, if you can keep it.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is a very systematic dismantling of it.
Yes.
I think that the other side knows better than to come in by force, obviously, or, too drastically. So they started years and years and years ago in our universities and institutions of learning, programming, because you see who's out protesting on the streets and who's on television in front of the cameras complaining and hating Donald Trump. It's a certain age group. And that is, I think, the direct result of the programming in the learning institutions and in the media.
Well, it's propaganda. It's a result of propaganda. Yes.
Exactly. And the thing is, we let it happen.
We did.
You know?
This was on our watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I understand we were distracted in some ways with 9/11 and all. A lot of other things going on, but yeah, it was on our watch and we dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And now you look at your kids, your grandkids, and what are we giving them?
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that keeps me awake at night. My grandparents and my parents, they all handed me something pretty decent. You know, something we could work with. And then I look at what's happening now and we have really dropped the ball, man. And that's the part that scares me. And that's where I think it's imperative that, that Donald Trump's reelected.
I don't know whether you heard the first couple of minutes, but we have a choice. It's Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whoever is that specific pick, placeholder for what I believe to be the Obama slash Hillary Clinton or the Clinton, Hillary Clinton slash Obama, because they both want some payback.
Something's amiss there, because yes. Biden one is taking forever naming his running mate. Okay, so that you would think he would have that drawn up by now. I smell the same thing, Obama and Hillary somewhere in the background, because it really doesn't matter about Biden. Biden, I'd be surprised if he lives through his presidency, because he's 500 years old. He's not sure where he's at day to day. So I'm just saying, from health reasons, nothing nefarious. I think the vice president, whoever he chooses for vice president, is the key to this whole mess.
I agree.
And that's where I think somebody's gonna, like they're sitting on an ace in the hole there or something, or they're not wanting to play that card right now. They're not wanting to show that card. Well, they're gonna play that card, but they're not showing it right now.
That's a good point. And folks, again, Randy Taylor, intelligence analyst, and I'll tell you what, I've seen this man work some incredible operations. It's stunning stuff, but I'm not going to get into that, and I'm sure he doesn't really want that either. Just so you know.
We've always had a decent perspective on the politics of it.
Yeah, we have.
If you go back, I know some of our stuff used to be archived there on the site. We weren't wrong about Obama.
We weren't. And we have not seen the last of Barack.
We called him out from the first day he popped up, like whack-a-mole. There's this Obama suddenly out of Illinois. And when we looked at the man and analyzed him, and the part of it was the lack of material to analyze about the guy.
That's true.
That was pretty paramount. But what we could see of him, it stunk to high heaven.
Yeah, and we weren't wrong.
Nothing that I was looking back through some of the Word, because I keep them in Word in files, and I went back and looked through some. We weren't wrong at all. We were dead on.
No, you were correct, and it's interesting because it was, it's obviously Hillary Clinton was the first to point out about his constitutional eligibility to hold that office. But that aside, I want to ask you this. Because when you were in studio, we're putting your picture on the screen. Is that all right? Or, your in studio visit. Is that okay? now that it's been up there, I can ask you. Or do you want us to put a stick figure of up there instead?
Put it up for dartboard.
I don't want to put I don't want to put you in danger. Because when you were here before, you're already, So would you prefer moving forward, we leave it off or what?
I'm elusive enough.
All right.
No, I would be really, somehow, and because she's been so quiet.
Yeah.
She's a possibility.
Yeah. Wait a second. Who are we talking about?
Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Yeah.
Serious.
She wants some payback.
Anything. Well, she has this thing where she absolutely wants to see the inside of the Oval Office, in a authoritarian position before she leaves this planet, She's just that chick is hung up on power.
No one likes her.
On the power. What's that?
I mean, no one on her side really likes her that much. But
they hate Trump more.
That's it. So, those people out there who are saying, oh, it can't be because there's no likability factor there. But, yeah, what he said.
You can put Michael Myers up there. Not Michael Myers, the comedian. But Michael Myers from Halloween. You can stick him up there with Biden, and they're still going to pull in a good chunk of the vote.
You could put a chimpanzee in there. And nothing racially meant by that, but,
I was going to say, careful using that.
Oh my gosh! And to think I was going to say
in my head.
Yeah.
Like, You get shot at enough, buddy. Okay. Let's say clown. Let's use the word clown. No, seriously, you could. Remember and think about this. And see, we can talk about this as adults because we actually remember these days where these kids that are out here protesting and screaming, we're still trying to figure out if they wanted Twinkies or ding-dongs in their lunchbox. But remember when everybody was, Bush was president, and everybody was absolutely just hate-filled over the war. They had gone from being patriotic on September 12th, 2001, you know, everybody wanting their pound of flesh, Democrat and Republican alike, to by the time the election started between Bush and Obama, or not Bush and Obama, who's the sellout? McCain. And Palin.
Yeah.
That there was just
winning
no
ticket.
Way. What's that?
Winning ticket by far, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's the best we could do out of 250 million people. That's the part that always amazes me about politics. Anyway, they hated Bush so much that Obama couldn't lose. Because they thought that the McCain-Palin ticket was just going to be an extension of Bush.
And,
remember that?
Yeah, and it probably would have been.
They hated yeah. Bush so much.
Yep.
They hated Bush like they hate Trump. That's the funny part. Because Bush comes out and bashes Trump. And it's like, you know, look, old man, remember when everybody in America hated you?
Hmm.
Because I remember those days. I remember before that election. I remember listening to debates and all, and just they hated the Republican Party.
Yep.
Because we had, you know, went into this, we, you know, invaded a country. We were pushing 4,000 dead of our own troops on top of the 3,000, you know what I'm saying, from 9/11. I mean, we had quite a death count. In that decade.
Yes. And you know, that they weren't wrong necessarily. Do you agree?
No, not at all. And when we go back, the thing was, it's like, okay, it's like your kid comes home with a black eye. You find out there was a fight. You really don't care what happened in the fight. It's just your kid has a black eye. I'm going to go over and see his parents. I'm pissed. Right? So, but you have no facts whatsoever. That's how we went into the entire Gulf War.
True.
We got a black eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't matter. We're going in. I understand the Afghanistan part. I got that. But the invading Iraq was something I didn't think I'd ever see the United States do.
And, you know, Randy, go back to the first Gulf War too, when Daddy Bush. I'll tell you what.
It seems to be a common theme here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. It's just
it's a new world order.
You know. Yeah. It's. I was talking, I'm going to toss this out. This is a random digression. Just keep this in the back of your mind. Since we're talking about war, talking about Iraq, think minerals, think oil, but think minerals. You notice, so this digression, I'm going to pull immediately back from it, but you watch this coin shortage here in the United States. Why is there a coin shortage? Think minerals. Okay, now I'm pulling it back. Forget about that or put that in the back of your head. Okay, let's continue on. Yeah, Gulf War, first Gulf War, second war, black guy, kid, pissed off, mm-hmm. going in. Yeah, go ahead. Pick it up.
Well, now the first Gulf War was over them invading Kuwait, over Iraq invading Kuwait. Okay.
April Gillespie, yeah. Yeah.
And word around the campfire years and years ago. And don't ask me to provide a source because it's been so many years, and I wouldn't provide the source anyway. Word around the campfire was that one of the reasons why Saddam went into Kuwait was because the U.S. actually had a stash of chemical weapons in Kuwait. Okay.
Interesting.
Saddam went in, grabbed those, and took off. We were simply trying to not only liberate Kuwait, but we had a vested interest in liberating Kuwait. This is deep covert. This is layers deep stuff. This is stuff that could never be substantiated. Like I said, I'll qualify it. Word around the campfire. Okay.
That
also sets the preface on how we were so determined that Saddam had chemical weapons because they were ours.
Made in the USA, or made by the USA. Okay.
Whatever, owned by.
Owned by. There you go. Interesting.
Well, that's something that was years. Doug, you know, when it comes to all that stuff, it's like the pictures that I have of, it was the kid that got beheaded, the first one.
Nick Berg? Nick Berg?
Yeah.
Or Nick Berg. Daniel Pearl, Nick Berg?
No, Nick Berg.
Nick Berg. Okay, yeah.
But remember I had the pictures? Remember the pictures I had of him?
Yeah.
In another part of the Middle East in custody?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember those pictures?
I do.
I still have those pictures laid around somewhere. And I told you the story when I was sitting in my office talking to a guy in the JTTF. Okay. And we were on the phone, and I mentioned this. Okay. And then I hung up the phone and I said, okay, I had told him I'll send them to you. So I fire them off by email, and I kid you not, it wasn't 30 seconds later. My phone rings in the office. Okay. With caller ID. And it was someone with the last name of Berg.
I remember that. You telling me that.
I answered the phone. There was no one on the line.
Yep.
And I'm sitting by myself in my office. This at work. In my office. In the not the greatest section of town. And I get that weird phone call. I'm like, what in the hell? That means they had to be listening to me.
Yes.
And monitoring me.
Yes.
In order for that phone to ring, because I called back the number and ended up tracing the number to an empty lot in Miami, Florida. There wasn't even a building on the lot. But that's where that number resolved to.
And folks, you're hearing this for the first time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just don't mean to overtalk, interrupt. I know there's a little bit of a lag. You're hearing some of this for the first time. This is the backstory that Randy Taylor and myself, I mean, we were involved with this. You've got to really pay attention to what Randy is saying, because this is relevant to what's happening today. Please understand. That's why Randy's coming back on Thursday, and we're going to be doing more of these exposés. You've got to understand how critically important this is, because once you understand what happened back then, early 2000s, you know, 03, 4, 5, 6 through, you know, then you'll understand why we are in where we're at today. Go ahead, sir. But yes, I remember that. And I was the first person, well, not me, but you and me, through the Northeast Intelligence Network, putting up those beheading videos. I got a call from Neil Cavuto, who said, what are you doing? Seriously, what are you doing putting these beheading videos on? And I want you to come on and tell me what you're doing. And that's back then. I had to pay, you know, for bandwidth. And you know who, I mean, I was paying out thousands of dollars back then per month.
Oh, God, yeah. Your site costs were astronomical.
Yeah, but you know who the biggest customers were? Were intelligence agencies and the U.S. government.
Our own people.
Yeah.
And they would pull the stuff. And what always got me is they would pull stuff we gave them and then classify it. And then we would say, hey, you remember? And they go, well, we can't talk about that. That's classified. I'm like, I gave you the thing. What do you mean it's classified? But they would play that game with us constantly. Oh, God, they used to come to your office. Used to be I couldn't call your phone without five clicks on the line. God. It was just, but I remember that night. I'll never forget that. It's how startled I was.
Yes.
Because at the time, I wasn't, you know, I was just dabbling. You know, I was just starting to really get into it. We'd been attacked, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I was very good at pulling stuff off the internet. things that other people couldn't find. Our intel agencies couldn't find it. Our FBI couldn't find it. You know, I had file repositories over in Asia, you know, all over the world, actually. And we were just pulling, like, Saddam when Saddam was hung. I had that video before NBC had it.
You did?
Off the guy's phone. I mean, that's how on top of things we were.
You know,
and if I think about it, I should have sold that for $1 million.
You could have.
I could have at the time.
You could have. And to your credit, you didn't. If, folks, if I can paint a mental picture for you, okay? I'm not going to tell you where this was, but it was in Randy's house. I walked in and, okay, in his office, in his house, just in his house, okay, in his office, in his house. You know, hard drives, back then they were pretty significant big hard drives, okay? I don't know, floor to ceiling worth hard drives. And, you know, out of his own pocket paid for hard drives to capture every little dot and comma from every site, you know, against us. And you're right. I laugh because you had given information over to the U.S. government and then, we can't talk about it to you because it's classified. Yeah. What a bunch of crap.
I mean, kill me.
Seriously,
they would take our stuff constantly, label it, call it their own. I didn't really, honestly, at first I was a little offended, but then, you know, when you put it in the big picture and you say, what's more important is that it's out there.
Well, your stuff made it to the presidential daily briefings. But it was credited to an agency that had nothing to do with the acquisition of the information. So,
incredible
stuff. Go on.
I said, the important thing was that the information was out there. You know, I wasn't getting paid for it in that aspect anyway. I derived money from here and there, but I spent far more money than I ever received.
Oh.
As we all did.
Patriotism, patriotism was costly, is costly. And I'll say this, Randy is, he's a giver. I'm telling you what. And he has given more than to his country.
Well, the Lord is blessing me. You know, he's always blessed me. He's always looked out for me, even in the worst of times. You know, I always make it through, come out smelling like a rose somehow. So that tells me I'm on the right track, doing the right thing. You know, and that's what it's all about. I think that's why you and I have hung out for so many years. You know, there's been times you and I haven't seen each other for years, but when we meet up, it's like I just saw you yesterday.
That's right.
You know, that's just the nature of our relationship, and I think it's just because of what we've been through.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the thing that bothers me the most is, you know, I look at it from being a veteran. I look at it from being a counterterrorism analyst. You know, I got a lot vested in this country, and I really have no intention of turning it over to these clowns. To these people that really want to destroy our sovereignty, sign us up for being part of the world government, enslave the people. And if anybody doubts what I'm saying, man, just look around. You're wearing a mask, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Stop and think about that.
Yeah.
And think about that. Someone got on TV and said, wear a mask.
Yep.
And everybody put on a mask. And then they told you to stay home. You stayed home. Businesses and people's dreams crumbled around you. Think about that. Your children missed the last part of their school year. Think about that. They can't even get in a swimming pool in a lot of places. I mean, think about what's going on. It was like a trial run on, can we lock down the population? Will they comply? And that's the part that scares me. That part, I don't know, between now and the election, anything can happen. They've lined this stuff up. You had the Mueller deal, okay, casting that shadow of doubt. They keep going back to this Russian collusion hoax. Then you had the Ukraine, the Ukraine thing and the impeachment. That failed. So what do? Now we bust out a virus. Okay, well, your virus is pretty much failing as far as containing the people. idea behind the virus, as far as I'm concerned, is because they want to do the mail-in ballots. And we're popping up examples almost daily of corruption. And this is documented stuff in not on the mainstream media, but in hard copy newspapers, okay, of corruption being committed by Democrats in New Jersey and different places on the last elections they had. So you're going to tell me that you want to turn the country over to where the Democrats can go full scale? And then, you know, it used to be everybody was pretty close to the middle, but the Democrats have really gone off. They're like in this, they went over this edge. And they will cheat, lie, steal, or whatever they have to do to get in the White House and to take these houses, you know, both the Senate and Congress. We're in desperate times.
Randy, let me say this at this point, because I know a lot of people, especially conservatives, true conservatives, are very disenchanted with Donald Trump. Now, I want people to run this through their heads, okay? Do the mental assessment of this. If Donald Trump was on board, part of the deep state, part of the permanent bureaucracy, the authoritarian, you know.
Manchurian candidate, right. Switch guy.
Okay, yeah. If he was that person, would they put up this much of a fight? Now, some people say, well, it's just the dog and pony show. It's really not a fight.
No.
No.
Right. Not the stuff that's gone on when you're playing with people's lives like this.
Right.
This is gone all over. I've never seen anything like this, and I've seen some wicked political fights in my life. You know, between opponents at every level.
Right.
And I've just never seen anything like this. Man, if you can't see that something is wrong, then you're absolutely, I hate to say it, you're an idiot.
Yeah. I've never seen.
What's next? This is the part that concerns me between now and the election. What's next? I see the little jokes with the four aliens standing there going, okay, we're queued up next. You know? and I laugh. Okay, ha, ha, ha. But
don't laugh. Really? I mean, is that so far off the table?
And how far are we from some orchestrated attempt on his life? Because all else has failed.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And this is, there's such, right now, we're at a place where, how would you call it? Where anything could ignite it.
Yes.
It's a tinderbox. Flashpoint. We're at a flashpoint.
Has this fuse been ignited and we're just not seeing, I mean, it hasn't reached the...
No, it hasn't. The final straw, that's that fuse, that final straw. I'm surprised right now that we haven't had more response from conservatives, but we aren't people that run out in the street and cry like little girls. Okay, we don't do it. And I remind people of that in social media and in different venues. I remind them that if the conservatives take to the street, it's gone too far.
I said yesterday, I'm going to say it again today. Randy, I don't see any other alternative than we are going to be fighting in the streets. I say
that the actual election day this year is Tuesday, November 3rd.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
November 4th is going to be chaos.
Yep.
Regardless of who got elected.
Yep.
There's going to be, I mean, you're seeing things right now you've never seen before. We ain't seen nothing yet. Absolutely nothing yet. I also, to be honest with you, a lot of people that I talk to, we expect, and if you watch the news, they're gradually building in that direction with Comrade Fossey. Okay, we're going to get locked down again.
Yes,
and it will be before the election.
Absolutely,
and they will do their best to do the mail-in ballots. the majority of corruption will occur in California and New York, the two areas where we've had the largest COVID outbreaks. They're just Democratic, or not Democratic, Democrat hotbeds.
They are.
And we can't even think about it. The government can't even really go in and verify COVID numbers. How are you going to verify the results of an election? Especially if you're on lockdown.
Exactly.
I mean, just think of this nightmare. Just try and put this, just let that part run through your head, the count. Election night. It's like that. And then a couple days later, as the lawsuits fly back and forth. Because remember with Bush and Gore, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In 2001. Was it 2001? 2000.
Yeah, the hanging chads.
It was going to lawsuit. It was taken into court immediately.
The only election that SCOTUS decided in American history was the...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, boom. You know, you think, you know, and everybody was a little shocked at that, although at the same time, everybody was still, you know, it was a friendly lawsuit, if there is such a thing. What's going to happen on November 4th isn't going to be friendly.
Okay.
And I think that's what people really need to prepare for.
All right. What about,
you know what I'm saying?
You say November 4th. Now, you know, the majority of emails I get are people asking about, pardon me for this, but July 4th, this year, July 4th, the Independence Day, because they're hearing threats by the left. I don't know if they're legitimate. I mean, I believe some are, some, I don't know, but they're hearing threats. Oh, we're coming out to the suburbs. We're coming out to get you. We're going to burn your warehouse down. Go ahead.
You know what? Go for it.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I mean, if it's going to come to a head, go ahead. If you're dumb enough to go to somebody's house that's probably armed and cause a problem, you know, you're dumb enough to get your head blown off.
Yeah, I agree.
What's the old saying? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
So your intelligence, your surveillance has not picked up anything.
Not that I could. I mean, come on. I know that they were talking about, there was a rumor running around about Hell's Angels was going to go to Seattle on July 4th. That Antifa wants to go out to the, where is it that they have the bike rally, Sturgis? Which I'm like, cool, you know, I'd pay to watch that, you know, but that's right now, it's just a lot of rumors. Are they going to be in the streets July 4th? Yeah, they'll be in the streets. Will they go into the suburbs? They're already in the suburbs, Doug.
That's true.
He saw the video of the attorney in St. Louis, him and his wife outside.
Now known as the Smiths.
As the peaceful protesters wandered through that area. And that's a very prestigious part of St. Louis where they live. I used to live in St. Louis. That's a very prestigious area. And the man was outside, the lawyer was outside with an AR-15, and his wife was outside with a pistol. As far as I'm concerned, they have the right to do that. That was a warning to the people going by. You just keep right on moving. But what I disagree with, and where law enforcement should have already stepped in, and the president should have already said something, is keep this stuff out of the residential areas. Because now you're getting into trespassing. You do that in Florida, you don't have to be in somebody's house to get your head blown off in Florida. Remember that. Remember, Doug? Jeb Bush, they passed the law under Jeb Bush that if you found you were in danger at a gas station, you can shoot somebody.
Yeah.
But we didn't, you know, there for years, when I lived in Florida, the rule was shoot them outside, drag them inside. The cops would tell you that, right?
It's the same
with now, now they don't have to do that anymore. If someone's on your patio getting ready to shatter your French door with a steel chair, you can shoot them right through the door. And it's legal. It's a legal kill.
And believe
me,
if
these little 279-pound, bald-headed, fat little Antifa types want to come to the door, okay.
It's on.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like Darwin's Law, right? The Darwin Awards. You know, if you're dumb enough to show up, I'm dumb enough to shoot you. And I don't understand these people. And these people, Antifa and all these people you see in the street, these are bullies. This isn't about Black Lives Matter.
No.
Okay. This is gone so far off track. Okay. You know, the Floyd guy, I'm sorry he died. Okay. I really am. That arrest could have been handled differently, but everything that happened after that was not justified by that man's death.
Well, let's go back to the Floyd situation, because I shared this with the audience. You and I were on the phone.
Okay.
He said, and Randy Taylor said, "Hey, Doug, I'll give you $50 if you go to wherever the funeral is and pop the lid on the casket. See if he's in there. See if he's really dead."
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah, I absolutely thought that would have been the thing to do down there when they had the white horses out and all that stuff and Al Sharpton was standing there. I would have absolutely died if the casket had fallen open and there was nothing inside.
There's a lot wrong with
just,
that. Yeah.
Well, there were so many little things, and you have to go back. And the problem that we're facing today, and let me tell you why analysis is so much harder today, is because of Photoshop.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
There's some people out there that are really good at it.
Oh, yeah.
There's people out there. I listened to a thing the other day about Oprah Winfrey said, and about, it was something about sexual molestation, and if the molester does it right, that the child should enjoy it and all this stuff. And I'm reading it and I'm watching it and I'm trying to expand the film, and they did it in a really cruddy black and white format. So I couldn't match her lips to what was being said. At a glance, it looked like she said it. But then as I looked at it, I was like, that's not what she's saying. And because the words, it looked like an old Japanese Godzilla film. You know, it wasn't matching up. So, hey, I'm all for propaganda. A lot of people put out propaganda, and I learned years ago, decades ago, in the intelligence business, propaganda can work for you, propaganda can work against you. So a lot of times if it's propaganda that's going along with what I say, I don't touch it. I don't comment on it either way. I just let it go. You know, if I see it in social media. I prefer that we try and do things the right way, but at this point, gloves are off.
And think about that, folks. Think about the gravity of that statement. And that's true with anyone, really, with any bias, whether it's conservative or liberal, but it's more true or more accurate or more done more on the left. And, you know, there's a field manual, Field Manual 305. I don't know. I know that you know about this. It's 3-05.301, Psychological Operations Tactics Techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was back in 2003. And it goes into great detail about exactly what we're seeing. And you said something to me on the phone, I think it was, yesterday, the day before, about, look at the news channels. Everyone's saying the same thing, obviously. And
somebody did it, and it was really cool how they put this together. And unfortunately, it was at the time they had picked on a series of Fox affiliates. And it wasn't even important what they were talking about, but it was a nationwide discussion. And they show you the first Fox channel saying it, then the second Fox channel saying it. And then pretty soon there was like 40 Fox channels up there, and every one of the people were saying exactly the same thing at the same time. Here's your playlist. You know what I'm saying? Here's your script. And that scares me. I understand you're an affiliate and then you got to pull the line for Fox, and I understand you're CNN and you got to pull the line. But the point is, our media is not presenting the news anymore. They're presenting their opinion of the news.
Yep.
A lot of times we hear more of their opinion than we do about the news. Think about it. They do four sentences of what Donald Trump says, and then they talk for 30 minutes about it. It's like, shut up. I heard what the guy said. I don't need you to explain it to me. I don't need to hear it backwards on a phonograph, and I don't need to hear it in Spanish. You know what I'm saying? Just say it. It's the news is not the news anymore. It's convoluted. We are being programmed. The kids have been programmed in the schools. The adults are programmed. People sit with the news ever since you went to that 24-hour news cycle when Ted Turner brought CNN out, right?
Yep.
Cable, 24 hours a day. What you're listening to is you're being programmed 24 hours a day because it sits there and plays in the background. Every 30 minutes, the script goes again. If you're on a headline news channel. Now, some of the other ones you have, you know, the talking heads, and they've got their hour-long shows, okay? But if you sit there and just, boom, on a news channel, it's every 30 minutes, it's the same thing. Right?
Yep.
That's what I call a monotonous drone. It's in the background.
Yep.
It's more painful than elevator music. But what you're doing is you're being programmed. They know that they can tap into your self-conscious. You don't even realize it's happening. And I can say it's happening because I go to other countries and I see the media in other countries. They're being programmed.
Yes.
They're being programmed. It's ridiculous. So now think about the edge on this from the left. I am surprised that Donald Trump won the last election when you look at the programming over the 8 years with Obama to keep a leftist in office.
That's true.
That's phenomenal. I mean, that's why even the left was caught off guard. That's why this whole Michael Flynn thing started. That's why they had a contingency plan for Russiagate and Robert Mueller and all of these people. Robert Mueller has served under every president that it was big in the globalist arena.
Yes.
That also participated in the Arab Spring. You know, I mean, people still don't realize and they refuse to accept that the Arab Spring and going into Iraq and all is part of a globalist movement. It really had nothing to do with the security of the United States.
That's right.
It was to topple Middle Eastern leaders because there wasn't a chance in the world of them going along with a Western designed globalist empire. Oh, they like the idea of a globalist empire, but a true Muslim wants a caliphate. A Muslim caliphate.
That's
their idea of globalism. Not what the West has in mind for globalism. So, knowing that you would have these wars, while you were sitting in a good position, you start going after them, you call it democracy. Toppling the leaders.
Right.
Saddam Hussein, you know, dragged out of a hole. Look at Muammar Gaddafi.
Yep.
Look at the guy in Egypt.
I know you're
Mubarak.
Yes.
Who was our friend for years.
Yep.
And then who else? Who was a really good buddy back when we were first engaging in Iraq and going into Afghanistan for us to send our prisoners that we were, what would we call it, rendition?
Mm.
Where did we usually send them? Syria.
I was going to say Assad.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now he's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we've had more than enough proof and still do nothing about it, about Hillary and Obama and Kerry and everybody involved in the Middle East. You know, everybody acts like ISIS just popped up on their own. When ISIS was fed, munitioned, trained, and funded by us.
That's right.
Under the pretense of that bad guy, Assad, that used to help us.
Right.
Because ISIS, everybody acts like ISIS just popped up out of the earth. ISIS is old Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it evolved.
Yeah. Exactly. They're out of Al-Qaeda of Iraq underneath Zarqawi back in the day.
Yep.
Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what do we have? They trained, you know, then they became MSC, you know, and did their little wars, but they still kept their basic six or seven Sunni terrorist groups. And, you know, then they became the Islamic State. Then they became the Islamic State of Iraq. Then they became the Islamic State of Iraq and Libya. You know what I'm saying? It was,
oh yeah.
It was all still the people out of Iraq. you know? And the thing was, they got more powerful. Well, you don't get more powerful unless you got some big powers backing you. Right?
Yeah.
And then Stevens. Yeah. You know, Stevens, in my opinion, was a liability to this establishment.
That's right.
And that's why he was allowed to be killed.
Well, and don't forget.
And sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget. People refer to Benghazi as the structure there as an embassy. Oops, not an embassy. It's a consulate. Oops, it's not a consulate. It's an outpost. No, it was a friggin' CIA base running weapons and manpower all across North Africa up into Jordan and destined for where? For friggin' Syria. And my goodness.
Yep, absolutely. And we knew, you knew there was a problem in Libya when we were watching the news clips. I remember sitting here at the table and I was watching the news clips with the tanks going into Libya. And they were actually had Al-Qaeda flags on the tanks. And they were calling this a NATO movement.
Right.
And I was the black flag of Al-Qaeda out of Iraq.
Yep.
Yes. Which they never, even though they changed names and all, they still kept the same symbol. You know what I mean? The same wording and all.
Yep.
And it was, and I'm watching them on the tanks. I remember I'm sitting here and I'm just scratching my head and I'm going, what is going on? Now that particular, and so people know this, in the ranks of the people that I, you know, worked on and off with from 2001 forward, a lot of people decided to get out of their government jobs after that. People that worked at DHS and things like that, because they realized that we were backing the wrong people. And people get disillusioned. When you take away their faith system, and these are people that worked at the government 25 years and decided to retire early. Because everything that they've been fighting for, Barack Hussein Obama turned around, and with that move on Libya, destroyed everybody. You know, I mean, the morale.
Yeah. A lot of careers of
people
were
working.
Yeah.
Yes, and the thing was the morale, the belief system, because patriotism and loving your country is a belief system. That's a belief system. You love your country, you love the flag, you love everything it stands for, you believe in the United States. That, my friend, is a belief system. What happens when somebody takes away your belief system?
There goes your world.
You got it. It's nothing. You got nothing. I've been doing this for nothing.
Yep.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I mean, I talked to a lot of people. And they're nowhere near their government jobs now. They within a year of that, took early retirements and left. And they were good people, Doug.
And one individual I'm thinking of, I won't name this person, but had a great career, had a great we got a lot of information by way of this individual. He was sued into oblivion, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, lawfare. I talked about lawfare before.
Yeah.
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 Why? Because, well, you can't talk about Islam like that. You can't talk about Muslim like that. You know, Muslims like that.
Mm-hmm. But look at, people need to sit back and look at the big picture, starting back with Clinton, actually go back to Bush Sr., you know, pushing the New World Order agenda, and then Clinton pretty much selling out to China. He's the one that sold the United States out to China, period. That's it. His wife, with her days in politics, and especially Secretary of State, that scumbag sold us out across the board. You know, this has been a deterioration of the United States as a whole that's gone on for several decades now.
Very
you
true.
Know, and we're really... And we were heading right down that path with Obama, and then Hillary was going to, you know, come in. If Hillary Clinton was president, we wouldn't have had COVID-19.
I agree with that.
Yep. And not because she was some genius, it's because it wasn't necessary, because things would have been on track with the globalist. If you say, look at all the stuff they've thrown at Trump, and the guy's still standing.
Yeah.
I would have lost my mind by now. He's still standing. You know, and I have this picture of him that I have on my phone. And it's just him standing in the Oval Office looking out the window all by himself. You know,
It'd be a pretty lonely place to be, actually, and I think
the worst, yeah. Most lonely place to be. I wish I, you know, could talk to him for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, just to make sure he's still pumped up, man. Because we have to have 4 more years to clean this out. And I was explaining that to someone the other day. I said that the reason they hate Trump is because it's like taxes. Trump would spend a dollar to recover a dollar. That's the farthest he would go. Where the system would spend $20 to recover a dollar so that they can employ $19 worth of garbage.
Very true.
That's on the left and on the right.
That's right.
So the people, right, the people that, you know, that are the rhinos and all them, you got to remember, they've got their little projects too, and they're all getting fat and rich off the system that Trump is going after. Now, the average person, you say, hey, here's the problem, and Trump explains it to us, and we go, okay, fix it. Well, there's only so much he can do.
That's
and
right.
This is where people get disillusioned with the president. Knock it off, okay? He can only do so much. He's not a king. The people that are getting disillusioned, you let the Congress go to the left.
Hmm.
You hear me?
Yeah.
And I mean it. You know, call and complain about it, send dirty emails in, fine. You drop the ball.
It's true.
You drop the ball.
We individually.
Congress should not be sitting under Nancy Pelosi with a majority.
That's very true.
So don't whine about Trump. Trump did this. He isn't doing this. He's not bringing out the 59,000 indictments that don't exist.
Thank you.
Okay. If people knew how to read that docket, the sealed indictments don't mean jack. If there's 10 of them on there related to Russiagate, okay, this whole Q thing may have gone off track. Because now we've got Q, and then we have all the translators for Q. The QAnon. Well, this is what Q said. How about putting Q's post up and leaving it?
And shut up.
I don't need you to explain it to me.
Yeah.
I don't need you to explain it to me. Some of the stupidest things I ever see are this Q thing. Leave it alone. Okay? Let Q make his post. Let people derive from it what they want. I don't need a translator for English. I don't need it.
There you are.
You know, that's one of my little tangents, because those people get vicious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You say something on Twitter against a QAnon? Oh, my God. There's rain stuff on you. And it's like, are you people listening to yourselves? Did you ever think maybe you're getting sucked in?
Gee.
You know,
and the
Q is supposed to be John F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, for crying out loud. And by the way, I know exactly who that guy is. I know who 107 is. I know him. I've eaten lunch with him. So stop it, everyone. Stop it.
You've had lunch with who?
Yes. Okay. Real quick. Real quick.
Yeah, I got to hear this one.
Okay. Yeah, this is something I haven't shared with you, but you know, there are these media channels out there saying, you know, 107, a guy that goes by 107, which is reflective reflective of his badge number 107 is JFK Jr. Now, he never said that he was, but people are saying, oh yeah, it's JFK Jr. He's going to be Donald Trump's running mate this week. Oh yeah. Well, I know this guy. I had friggin' lunch with him. Stop it.
Better yet, Doug. John F. JFK Jr.'s been to a Trump rally.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Vincent Fusca or whoever the guys. Look, I'm not talking bad about any. This is what's out there. Look, I don't. So, believe me,
we don't need it. We look, when people do this, we look like morons. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, please go sit back down in your seat and shut up, okay? Because you're making us, you know how much fun if people have a bad habit on Twitter, especially. Twitter's the one I like to look at. But Twitter, you surround yourself with people of the same belief.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just a habit.
Yeah.
Unless you're a glutton for punishment. Okay.
Right.
But like what's funny is to go read what the left says about us and the Q followers. They think that we're a bunch of people with one tooth, okay, that weigh about 350 pounds, fell out of school in the sixth grade.
Shop at Walmart.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, this is how we get, you know, it's just like people that make memes or whatever you call them.
Yes.
And they misspell words.
Yes.
It makes me crazy. Well, it's like, as soon as you put that up, you're a target for the left.
Yeah,
check at least proofread your stuff.
Exactly. I mean, it's only how many characters, 240 characters you have to look at. Is that too much to ask?
Exactly. But the point is, when we get picked on, it's because we gave them the ammo to pick on us.
Oh, man.
Oh, and Lord knows we gave them a lot of ammo.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's a hard enough fight without, you know, pulling your skirt up too far.
I hear you, brother. Randy, we're out of time, man. I got to tell you, this has been a very quick hour. We're out of time. You're going to come back, and you're going to be with me on Thursday, right?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it, my friend.
Okay. Here's it now, folks.
We got a lot of work to do before the election.
We do.
And as we talk, we'll start cluing in the people, the listeners, as to how they can help.
Right. In the meantime, if you want to help, I'll tell you what, Randy Taylor, if you want to hear more about from Randy Taylor, send an email to studio@hagmanreport.com, studio@hagmanreport.com, put in the subject line, Randy Taylor. I'll send your comments to Randy and he can read it.
And Randy Taylor's also on Twitter.
And I'll put that link in the program description box. Okay. Got to follow him.
You'll find him.
Yeah. Brother, I can't wait, man. Thursday's going to be great. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a heck of a program on Thursday. So,
we're just getting started, my friend.
Yes, we are. Cool. Thanks for coming in from the cold. And,
all right, brother.
I'll talk to you soon. All right. Folks, thank you, Randy. Folks, coming up is Stan Dale from standale.com. We will take a break because I don't want to impinge upon, Stan's time here. I just want to, do we have him? Okay, let's go right to Stan Dale from standale.com. Stan, how you doing?
Leah.
There you go. Go ahead.
Good. Hey. You good?
Yeah. How you been?
Oh, well, like a few people that watch the news, very busy and kind of seeing some depressing stuff.
Yeah, it's depressing. When you look at the news, the headlines are depressing. The news, I mean, my goodness. You know, I was thinking about you this weekend. Thinking about Holly. Thinking about, my goodness, how does she even keep up? It's just crazy. So, yeah.
Well, it is. Let's start with some light stuff at the moment. Okay. Relatively light. On the show images page, if you go to images 37 through 44, they're all pictures of earthquake stuff.
All right.
Now, I've been getting, you know, information from various people. One of my patrons on the patron channel has been following earthquakes, and he has a bigger system than me, and he compiles how many earthquakes are happening for a week. And he's been getting increases, you know, like up into 4,000 and 5,000, 6,000 quakes a week. And so I only do it on earthquakes that are 2.5 Richter and above. And even with that, I'm seeing sporadic increases in the earthquakes since January this year. Look at slide 43. Click on the picture and bring that up. Come on, slide 43. Here we are.
All right,
now in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a little red rectangle showing that there's 2,100 earthquakes. And that's, you know, this month, this June, all the way up to the 29th anyway. Where are they occurring? Well, these bigger ones are now occurring all along the Atlantic Ridge, not just here and there, but just stretching all the way down to just north of the South Atlantic anomaly, you know, the geomagnetic anomaly. The larger earthquakes don't seem to, if you zoom in on the northwest coast there of the United States, you'll see there are some heavier ones and a lot of intermediate ones in the Nevada and Eastern California region. Yeah, you see where those two red dots are there on the left? Yeah, right there.
Yep.
Right underneath that, there's a ton of earthquakes in the hundreds. And that, to me, is signaling extra fracturing occurring right now on the San Andreas Fault at the southern tip. And all along the coast, you see those up into the Juan de Fuca. There are quite a few there. Now, that is of concern because of last week when I was talking to the lady here in Colorado that also gets dream visions. She said that the beginning of the breakup of the California coast is going to happen mid-July. And that's, sometime 2 weeks from now, or either side of it, just a bit. So watch this kind of stuff. And all right, now remember, we've got 2,100 earthquakes here for the month of June. We go to slide 44 and click on that.
Now, this is from the USGS, 2,100.
Oh, yeah.
2,100. Oh, my goodness.
Now,
okay.
Now, go to what was that, slide 44, was it? The next one over. Yeah, 40. Go to 44. Now, what we have here is June of last year, or sorry, of 2018. Now, in that month, we had there 7,684 earthquakes globally. So our June, you know, might be elevated slightly over an average of maybe 1,300 or 1,400 in this range normally, even up to 2,000 in some cases. 2 years ago was really extraordinary. And I don't know from looking at the map, I tried to figure out which ones are doing it. It's probably over in the Philippines, in that area there. There must have been an earthquake that was rather large. They had a lot of aftershocks, and also up north of New Zealand. But I don't see anything that shows as a huge earthquake. So it was very active, let's put it that way. So our high value this month, it has been higher 2 years ago. If you look down, though, at January of this year, slide 37, there was 4,729 earthquakes in that month. And so we started out the year with a bit of a bang.
Mm.
There again, they are kind of distributed along the Ring of Fire, the Arc of Fire.
Yep.
On both sides of it, you can see. All right. Now we go back to the show images page, and we look at April. Well, April is slide 41. And there we have only 2,743. Again, in the same locations that you saw on the others, it's an elevated number by about 25%, even in this range. Now, what Richard, my friend, is doing with his computer with more memory is Richter 1.0 and above. And it is busy, busy, busy. So this is just the kind of the overarching earthquakes of significant value that USGS has at 2.5 plus. His is saying that we are really seeing a tremendous increase. And last slide on this is 42, which is the month of May. And May went up to 3,205 earthquakes for the month that are 2.5 or better. Again, this time we're looking at the northwest United States. Excuse me. Some big ones up on the Juan de Fuca and around into Northern California. And also a ton of them north of New Zealand, going over the Philippines. There's definitely some kind of activity building in the Ring of Fire. And back at slide, whatever, 43, I think it was, you're seeing a lot of them in Mexico and all the West Coast, you know, Chile, Peru, significant earthquakes there. So I think it is safe to say that what that lady saw about the earthquakes and the breakup of the West Coast could very well be happening soon this year. And if she's right, in the middle of July. So you'll need to do some of this yourself in between shows, you know, in between Tuesday evenings, and see what the earthquake situation is on USGS. I think it's really important to keep a track of that, especially if you live on the West Coast. Get your go bags ready. Just in case,
Seems like we've been saying this, or it's been said for many years, Stan. That's not to take away from this information at all. But it, compared to, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, obviously, it's not that the surveillance of this activity is grown better, although it has, but the frequency of the earthquakes and the intensity has gone up. So that's the real rub here, right?
The frequency, and obviously it's leading up to bigger ones, but when you have a bunch of those very fine, you know, 1 to 2.5 earthquakes, some of those can be due to heavy trucks driving by, the sensors and stuff like that. And you can filter those out over at USGS by saying, you know, I only want real earthquakes that have been vetted by a human being instead of a computer analysis of it. And that gives you pretty much a better picture of what's happening in the number count. I draw this analogy to the plexiglass plate, you know, thin sheet, that thing where you try to bend it and have to break it. Right along the middle of that, there will be fine microfractures, you know, like small earthquakes in essence, on that sheet of plastic, as you bend it like this, until the point where it finally releases and breaks, snap, and right along there for those little fine fissures where the big break occurs. So when we have a lot of these small fissure quakes on the northwest side or west coast of the United States, I'm paying attention to it. I think that's presaging some bigger ones.
I'll say it for the commenters. I wish you were my science teacher. The mental, the picture, the word picture you created with that is phenomenal. Yeah. I can see that. Okay.
There are several things in the environment that are of concern. We've been reporting over the last few weeks about the, plagues of locusts and, flooding and drought. And drought is intensifying here in the United States, which is hitting our breadbasket and also the Midwest here. It's going to hurt crops. And with this second wave of coronavirus heading our way, it would appear that delivery systems are going to be compromised again. And even though we may have food adequate in our production areas, that's of course, if California doesn't hit the San Joaquin Valley with a quake and, you know, everything is ruined over there. But we're still going to be seeing famine, shortages of food in the stores. Holly noticed a thing today when she went up to Walmart just to get some, you know, top-up shopping done. They were saying they didn't have any small change, like pennies and nickels and dimes and stuff like that. I noticed that the Federal Reserve said, okay, don't worry, it's not a big deal. COVID-19 put us behind in our production schedule. Well, I hope that's true. But then I got an email from my son talking about something that the banks can do during the Obama administration, that ruling on, you know, whether the banks can take your check and your safety, you know, or your deposits and assume them and take them over if the bank gets in trouble financially, you know, bad investments or whatever. Instead of going to the government for a bailout, they can take your money that's deposited with them, whether it be in a savings account or, you know, a check account or whatever, which wouldn't do well for, you know, a lot of us in small business if they assumed our checking accounts. So there's another little warning signal that, it was under the Obama administration, but we're approaching a time where the banks are going to be in trouble too. What do you do?
Is this a push toward digital currency, complete takeover, get rid of cash? I mean, is that what we're seeing?
Oh, I think so. It's one of several things I will be talking about here later this evening. But it's one of the crisis curves. We've got, you know, environmental crisis, you know, like earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, drought, flooding in certain places, animal plagues, you know, insect plagues, rather. These things are a part of crisis curves that are affecting the whole planet and getting the attention of the average man out in Far East Zambezi or out in, India and the boonies somewhere. Even those people are being affected because it affects what they can eat, you know, what money they can get themselves. These things are getting our attention. Let me just, I'm going to move up the chain to the full discussion of that in a minute, but look at slide 45. The South Pole has been warming at 3 times the global average over the past 30 years. The article shows, you know, a shelf breaking up there at the Antarctic. You can see the animation up there if you want to. But if you had a global average, you know, and then you had the warming Earth or global warming, you know, supporters coming forward and saying, look, it's getting warm and things are happening. This would certainly be an argument for their, you know, support for their argument because the shelf is warming and breaking off 3 times faster than the average, you know, before even the study went out. Why? Why is the South Pole getting warm like that? There are certain parts of the South Pole that are not, that are actually putting on ice while this portion here is, you know, warming. And I still think it's probably due to subsea, you know, sub-ice sea volcanoes that are underneath that are warming up. And that warm water is, you know, of course, lifting up underneath these sheets and melting them. I hope they've got, you know, water wings on these buildings and these trucks they've got here. Anyway, I'm sure they're back far enough. I'm just being silly. But it's called a heat wave. And for the Antarctic, that is a heat wave when the snow melts. It was like minus 18 degrees Celsius or 65 degrees Fahrenheit.
What does that do to the water levels? Anything? Should we be concerned about the water levels?
Well, water levels will rise. I believe, oh gosh, 10 years ago, I believe it was, NASA published a study on if we melted all the ice on the planet, the glaciers, you know, and in Europe as well, in Switzerland and at both poles, that it could raise the sea level 235 feet. But they said even at the rate it was melting at that time, that you're looking at, you know, 2300 AD or something like that where it starts to be serious. However, when you see reports like this, that the temperature and the melting rate is like 3 times faster than they thought on the average, that tells us their estimates are all wrong. It's going to happen quicker. Personally, I think that people that live on coastal areas, especially the 50-some-odd island nations, should be looking at, you know, a backup somewhere up near the volcano that formed the island up on the side, up on the slopes, you know, as a fallback, because I do think that the islands will see it before we do on the main coastline, but it is going to encroach on property, and flooding will be enormous. It'll be different in various areas because you might have a country that has a rise on the coastline and then a dip, you know, where you've got houses and buildings and then it goes back up to a higher ground. Well, all that area would flood as soon as it's breached on the coast. So, yeah, I think this is something to be concerned with amongst all the other things we've got to be concerned with. You know, how do you prioritize these things? This kind of prioritizing is if we survive this terrible political crisis we're in, this civil crisis. And that's,
yeah, if we survive that. And, you know, Stan, I the first hour guest I had, Randy Taylor, has been with our organization, been with me for the last 20 years or so, but intelligence analyst. I told him, I'll tell you the same thing. I don't see us going through this without blood on the streets. I don't know. What do you think? I mean,
well, look, yesterday that man and his wife had a very nice home and gated, and these terrorists, let's face it, knocked down his gate, you know, broke his gate and came into his property. Well, I'd do the same thing. I'd get my AR-15, handguns, and whatever else I got to fight off crowds, and I'd be out there saying, that far no further, and get your butt out of my property. You know, I mean,
yeah,
somebody's going to get killed this way or wounded anyway.
Is that what would happen? I guess, and you can change topics or whatever. I'm just curious. I do see this happening more and more. And I see that they're gonna pick the wrong person at the wrong time, be in the wrong place, and man, it's going to hit the fan. But what I'm curious about is, then what happens? You know, then what happens? Do they double down? I mean,
it depends on who's in office. You know, if this happens during President Trump's time, he may well, you know, move the troops in, martial law, and try to stop the fighting. If he does that, of course, then the left will say, oh, you know, the government's attacking us. Let's go get them. And it'll be a full-scale civil war then. If he doesn't do anything, they'll just walk all over us. The left will. All right, if he loses the election and we've got a left guy in there, well, then come, I don't know, December, January, whenever the left takes over, we're going to see that people that got guns and stuff to defend themselves, food stores, are the enemy of the state, and they're going to come for you and us. That's what I see.
Okay. Very well explained. And this.
The left are really the pawns of the communists, whether they be Chinese or Russian communists. And the left are, you know, joyous about having this revolution. It's what it's amounting to instead of a civil war. At this point, it's a revolution against the Constitution of the United States. Now, if this proceeds either way, with martial law or without it, just chaos ensues. Russia and China, as I've said several times, will attack the United States with ground forces, sea forces, and missiles, and EMP strikes, which we've talked about. Now, whatever they do, it's going to not last long. They're going to invade both coastlines and go into the United States and the major cities. And some of the major cities may be nuked, but I think they're counting on the EMP pulse to wipe out a lot of things. And the disease, you know, like COVID-19, and there's another one now coming out of China. They've said it's loose in the pigs. If that is even worse, then we've got biowarfare going on. And as the Hopi told Holly and I at length down in Arizona, we were there, there is going to be a civil war, and it won't just be you know, color or race war or religion war or financial war. It's just going to be multifaceted. And this civil war will lead to such a weakening of the United States that Russia and China and one Middle Eastern country, they said, will actually physically invade the United States for a short period of time. After they've looted what they can take back with them, they will leave, I think, probably, and I hope he didn't say this, but because of the biowarfare that has been left and the dead bodies that are around, they won't have the manpower to clean it all up, and they will retreat, maybe to come back later, but they will leave us alone. And the survivors of this in the United States will probably congregate around the four corners, as you know, the southwestern corner of Colorado, southeastern Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and right up into Colorado, into the mountains near Beulah Valley, which was an ancient people or tribal gathering place. So that's what they say. And but they do say beforehand that there will be water levels, you know, rising water levels in Arizona around the Grand Canyon, which will flood the areas, the highways underneath the three mesas of the Hopi Reservation. And those three mesas, they will have to use canoes or small boats to get between the mesas until they make their migration up into the four corners, which they can do. I ran tests on that, probably 10 years ago now, I guess, looking for, you know, raising the water levels at the Grand Canyon and seeing where that would penetrate and how high it would have to be and how long it would have to be there for them to have a dry land path from the three mesas going back up into Colorado. And there is a path. It's not straight line. It's a little bit weavy, but it takes them up into to Colorado and out of Arizona. So, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. We're seeing such a tremendous pressure on the government and President Trump, obviously. It's not a good time.
No. And I appreciate, I appreciate your analysis on this because, I just do. And I think everyone out there listening appreciates it as well. Your well-reasoned, well-researched analysis. And it's interesting how we're looking at the severity of the earth changes and the sun and everything correspond with the severity of the socio-political changes that we're seeing and the disruptions. Everything is coming at once as the Bible said. I mean, we're living in
The birth pangs, and we're coming close to the childbirth point. You know, it's going to be sudden. It's rapid when it hit. Eric, if you'll go down to slide 6, almost to the very bottom, and click on that. All right.
There we go.
Are you there yet?
There we go.
Okay. Now, these two rectangular maps there show just the mesas flooded in Arizona only, if you click on that. And there was a place where I put a little white circle that an uplift or a landslide could block the flow of the Colorado River and other water sources coming into there. And over a period of several weeks, they could fill this area and you'd have a lake instead of seawater in there, which if you look to the right of the little white circle and at the tip of that red line that's got a white outline, there are three fingers in that water. And those are the three mesas of the Hopi Nation there. Now, the Navajo are in the lower areas where it's got water, so they would probably have come up into the mesas with the Hopi at that time and then taken this red path, migrating. There's two ways to go to get up into Colorado and into Utah, the left and the right branch. And then if you go back and look at the bigger picture, the reason I chose those things is that there's a possibility that the flooding can go further back up into Utah and Colorado. Mainly, you know, Utah gets clobbered more than we do. And that's why those pathways are a little bit circuitous. It's because I was avoiding the water once you see it. And as I say, there is one place there which is just ripe for a good shake from a big earthquake, and rocks and stuff would fall down the Grand Canyon, that area there, and block this water from running into the Grand Canyon. But it would take weeks unless there's major rain, which, you know, we could be getting a lot of rain here at various times during the next year or two, and that might cause this migration of the Hopi up into our area. And they say a new nation of man will form there between the survivors of the Civil War and the invasion and the people, the Navajo, the Sioux, the Apache, Cherokee, all the people. They will gather together, make a new nation of man at that point. Now, if you want to see what that circle area looks like, site number one is a brown picture underneath the flood of Arizona only. If you click on that, and you'll see the area that I picked for where it would fall and block it. That's right. And then down underneath that in 3D, if you have 3D glasses, you can actually see that in true 3D. And then there's another site where the blockage could occur and block the river flow so that water stays up in the mesas instead of coming down. Anyway, just an interesting study that I thought was worth saving. You were talking a while ago about coastal flooding sea level. Let's look up at that in that same page, Eric, where we've got the possible water levels in the USA during and after massive tectonic plate changes and sea level rises, of course. It's a big map. We've looked at it before, and the dark blue areas are areas that are going to be flooded. You know, you'll see the red outlines of the states on the coast. Particularly pay attention to Louisiana, Florida, and the East Coast. You can zoom in on that with your mouse if you click over on the Florida side. We'd lose all of Florida, South Carolina if the sea level rose 200 feet. And, of course, NASA's thinking 235 feet, a complete meltdown. Would this happen? Would it be that hot? Well, the Bible says that during the tribulation period, the sun, the light of the sun will be seven times that as bright. And it'll be warm. And it'll be a lot warmer, which would cause the ice to melt. And even without, like, an asteroid impacting in the Atlantic and causing tidal tsunamis to come over the coast there, even without that, you're going to see these areas flooded. It won't happen like, you know, before you can get in your car and get away, unless it's a tidal wave or a tsunami from an impact. But from melting, you'll see it coming up. You'll notice your feet getting wet, and it's time to leave town and get further inland. So this map, I made so that those people in those areas that are threatened can already start planning escape routes and trying to avoid the areas where the water will become rivers and block roads and things like that.
Okay. And by the way, we appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Folks, take note. I mean, you know, it's foolish if we don't prepare, and this assists you in preparation. So take note. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
Eric, can you put that back up? I just want to, around the Great Lakes, are we looking, do we have, okay, so we're not looking, we're looking at oceans as opposed to the inland, the waters of the Great, I shouldn't say inland, well, the inland waters of the Great Lakes, I guess. So we're looking at the oceans.
Yeah, the Great Lakes, up where you guys are, I think that's high enough that we're not going to see a problem of stuff coming up at you. I don't know whether the Great Lakes would get fed. No, that's just not high enough. You know, if you look at the top of Indiana and Illinois there, the topography starts to drop down toward the Mississippi River there.
Right.
There could be an imagined fault rupture, and the rupture would go up into the foot of that toe of the Great Lakes coming down there. I forget which one that is, but that might cause a drain from the Great Lakes going down into the Gulf. But I don't think that the sea level rise will be able to breach from the Atlantic over into the Great Lakes from what I see here.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't anywhere, you know, from when you look at Vermont to really Minnesota, I don't see any. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Well, there is one bright spot, though. D.C. is flooded, covered up entirely.
Yeah, look at that.
And New Jersey. Yep. Yeah. Problem very solved. No, I'm being rude, but you know, right now, this is one of the crisis curves I talk about is the, not only the people of the United States, but the people of China, people of Russia, people of all the nations are getting dissatisfied with their leadership. You know, life is not good, and they blame it on their leadership for not taking care of them. Even though it might be a global problem due to trade embargoes and things like that and disease, they blame it on their own government. And it's this crisis curve will be people losing confidence in their governments entirely, wanting a new government to replace them. Which brings us back to the show images page to slide 54. Have a look at this. Jeff, my son, sent this to me this morning. The UN chief, Guterres, calls for one supreme body of global governance, a global government being called for by the UN chief. Wow. Wow. Now, here's the thing. The UN, they really can't agree, all the nations that are members of it, 186 or whatever it is today. That goes from, you know, day to day, depending on whether terrorists have declared themselves a nation in Washington or whatever. But these 186 nations, they have found over time that they really can't get consensus on anything. I mean, even simple things like when do they have coffee breaks? You know, they cannot agree. There are just too many partisan points of view that tear this consensus apart. So if we have to have a global government to replace all of our existing governments, that global government's going to have to replace the United Nations, too, because it's not functioning well. So they're laying the groundwork for the need for a better government by a group of people that are not of a particular religion, that are not of the Illuminati class, and have no track record, and could apparently be benevolent and be fair in judging all the nation's needs. Now, we don't have anything like that on the planet. Every potential leadership group has baggage, you know, Illuminati baggage, personal baggage from the people that are in that group and running various parts of the planet, modes of government, this kind of stuff. They're all prejudiced from their baggage as to how to set up a world government and work it nicely. So this is leading us to disclosure and the UFO becoming officially recognized, you know, the alien race or races, however they're going to play it. And they are going to be this third alternative to solving planet Earth, this global governance. And they have no track record with this. And obviously they're going to be much more together in how to run a planet, because they're traveling over to our world from wherever they live. And so, you know, the common opinion will be, gee, well, let's trust them. Let's let them, you know, appoint somebody to run us. And it'll be, you know, with no baggage from the other governments of the world. So to see this come out today, or June 26th when it came out, it's got to wake people up and say the global government, the new world order, is being cried for by all the leaders of the world, and through this UN for sure.
Stan, they still have resistance, because people like you and people like me and other people listening to this who are awake, they're going to say, oh, no, it ain't happening. Oh, no. So there's still resistance there, but how long will that resistance
The resistance is going to be two parts. You and I, hopefully, will be caught up in the rapture, because Paul does say that until the man of sin is revealed, or, you know, if he's revealed and you're still here, you didn't get caught up in the rapture. And if you're one of those that weren't found worthy to be in the rapture of the bride, then you're going to be here and you're going to know not to trust these. And so that resistance group is going to be the main resistance. Right now we are resistance by just talking about it.
Right.
And we're a small, you know, part of the war trying to wake people up. It's this great deception that is coming, that has been spoken of for 1,000, 2,000 years. And I don't want to be in that group that are in the tribulation period resisting, because for them to be saved, they're going to have to give up their property. They won't be able to own a property, like you were talking about, this digital currency. Everyone's going to have a number ID in the New World Government and pledge allegiance to the New World Leader, and have this, you know, barcode or whatever they're going to tattoo on our hand or our forehead so that we can buy and sell. So if you know not to get that, then you can't own the property you've got now, except what you could grab and carry in your vehicles and hide somewhere away from detection, if you can find such a place. So people that resist and are Christians during that tribulation period will be caught. Some of them, you know, will survive, but many of them will be caught, and they will be killed in very unhappy ways. The guillotine will be a prominent way to kill people on TV to impress everyone. And I suppose the sword.
Mike Adams had done a call or a report, column, report, whatever, on that. You know, the symbol of the French Revolution, beheading. You know, very symbolic. I'm sure you saw that beheading machine taken in front of Jeff Bezos's place. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. People, you know, 15 years ago, they said, oh, come on. Now it's like, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's like that. And it's a good analogy to put it like toward the French Revolution, because the wealthy, the ruling rich, you know, class, they were waking up and finding themselves being marched to the guillotine in front of everybody and stripped of all their wealth and mm-hmm. killed. And, you know, this might be what we're seeing here at the beginning of that. But it's going to get really serious on a global basis when the New World Order forms under a New World Leader who will be tough. And, you know, ostensibly he will be fair, but not really. He has an agenda. But it's been in the works for, well, by Satan anyway, since, you know, the Garden of Eden, I think. But by the present puppets, the Illuminists of this planet, it's been in the works for at least 200 years. Long-term planning, generational members of the Illuminati, and we're now to the point where we're coming to a head. I often wonder if when I published the book in 1978, The Cosmic Conspiracy, telling about this plan and naming the organizations and a lot of the people involved in it at that time, the family groups, when I did that, did I cause the efforts to slow down a bit and skip 50 years instead of doing it then? You know, we might have done it earlier, but for some reason, even though, you know, I know, like Jim Schlesinger, former Secretary of Defense, said my book has the outline of their plan in it, and it's correct in the book. why they let me stick around. And all I can figure is the good Lord had other plans for me and stopped whatever would have killed me. So we're here now. No matter whether I affected that much or not, we're here. There's some other. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad I'm still here. I'm glad we're still here. I'm glad you folks are still here, too. But by the way, I missed the meeting on Sunday. How was that? I was.
Well, it was very good. We got to talk about a lot of things, earthquakes and questions on even the universe and parallel universe. We had a really good chinwag. There were Richard Hankey's one of the guys there. He's one of the earthquake guys that gathers the stuff that I can't down there in the small ranges. And there's Bob. There's people that were connected to the intelligence community, and I think you would have had fun.
Oh man, I got the notice. I was somewhere else, and I had no ability to. I really kicked myself. But when's your next one coming up? Do we know?
It'd probably be fourth Sunday in July. Okay. At this point, yeah, unless we're interfering with some other holiday. Okay. We had to change it this time because of that. But this 4th of July is going to be interesting.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, Patreon meeting on July 5th. I'm not going to change it. So just so people know, July 5th, normal schedule. Yeah. This July 4th is indeed going to be interesting, which is but what are you hearing, if anything?
Well, I haven't heard anything except I was looking at the movies on the satellite, you know, DirecTV and whatever, and Dish. And surprise, surprise, they're running 4th of July, Independence Day, you know, the UFO alien landing. And I thought, how appropriate when things are coming to a head this year for us and possibly big things in the middle of July, they're playing that movie again. I sat and watched it through and I thought, wow, mm-hmm. Is it a coincidence, or are we being primed for the release or the, you know, disclosure? I don't know.
I think we're being primed for something. You know, I do keep track of the programming or the TV programming because I want to see what's playing. I think they should run 1974 Charles Bronson Death Wish a few times. Maybe that might change some. Anyway, very interesting.
Well, I think they ought to revive the movie V.
Yes,
that would be something people really ought to watch and take to heart. Even though it was made back in the mid 70s, you know, 70s technology, it tells you about an alien group coming in bodies that look like humans, but inside these coverings, they are really reptilians. You know, which. like the snake himself. Now, it was a way that they could introduce that concept. Kenneth Johnson, I think, wrote that series. Anyway, he used biblical things in the tribulation period as part of his storyline. There was the dried blood of human alien hybrids that were, you know, a good dried blood, and they sprinkled that on these alien reptilian people that had outer skins like us, and it killed them. So the blood, like the blood of Christ, you know, takes rid of the evil. That kind of thing was prevalent in the V movie. In the V movie, they come down and they promise you, we're going to help you with medicine and technology, which they start to do, and we're going to bring peace to the planet. In addition to that, we'd like to have some of your seawater. We need it for our ships, you know, to take home with us when we go back to our planet. And it becomes much like the Hitler Nazi Youth Corps. They start recruiting teenagers and young men and women to wear this armband that is a very, very obvious derivative of the swastika, but it's the alien mark. It just you ought to see it. I think people realizing where we are now, what's happening, when they see that movie again, they will think, you know, the lights will turn on and they'll think, wow, this is what's happening.
Yeah. That and they live, I remember that. That's, my goodness. Yeah, it's.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that year that he was, that he'd written it already, but when they were filming it and releasing it, 77, 78, is when I was writing The Cosmic Conspiracy, telling about the real thing. Isn't that cool? It's like the Lord put his hand on everybody out there and say, look, this is the time to put this message into the people so it has, you know, decades to sink in and spread. What an interesting thought. Yeah,
and I'm a big believer in what I like to call soak time. You, so many programs and so many people on YouTube and such, I mean, it's their style fine. They throw out a whole bunch of information really rapidly. And people, sometimes I see, well, gee, Doug, you're too slow. Well, I'll tell you what, you can always speed it up to 1.5-2 times, you know, speed if that's what you want. But I think when you're giving information like you're giving out, or hopefully like we're giving out, you've got to do it in such a way where people will remember it. And you can't really remember just by sound bites necessarily and by character limitations or by rapid staccato kind of fire of information. So, and that's why I appreciate what you do. And that's why I love books. And that's why I love Cosmic Conspiracy. By the way, folks, if you haven't done so, order it. Oh, man. Yeah. All right.
Shameless plug for me. Thank you.
And dare to prepare too, because, you know, now we're at a point, and my wife actually just the other day, now this is, wait, Tuesday. So, it would have been, I'm sorry, it was yesterday. She actually had picked that book up to look something up in it. So, and we're not going to tell you what it is because we're preparing. So dare to prepare.
All right. In slide 46, Eric, I just have a couple, or a picture comparing two images. Maybe you had to click on the text. Yeah, get to the article there. Let me see if I can still get the picture to work. The picture, I have the picture separate. Yeah, click on the picture, and you'll see an island down there in the Antarctic. And between February the 4th this year, a period of 9 days to February 13th, that's how much of the ice melted off of that that island down there at the South Pole. And that's got to, that visual, rather than what I said, that visual's got to kind of reach you how quickly the ice, the glacier, melting off of that island down there.
Look at that.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Wait a minute. 9 days?
What it said.
You.
Yeah. It's spooky. Now, you know, Holly and I talk about this, about our garden and things not doing right, plants not growing right. And some places in the United States, they are. But one of the things we've noticed here in the high altitudes of the mountains is we're very attuned to the ultraviolet penetration from the sun and from cosmic radiation. In fact, both our dogs have autoimmune diseases. The boy dog has got it on his nose, which we're treating with meds and stuff now then to try to reverse that. The girl will never be able to fix other than just keep her on medicine constantly. But the ultraviolet has triggered both of them. And for Holly and I, we walk outside these days, and the light is bright white. It's moving toward the ultraviolet, you know, the blue end of the spectrum. And when you come in, it takes longer for us to get back to normal vision in the house, you know, to be able to see because the light is so darn bright. So I was talking with her about it. She said, well, can't you figure out what's causing that? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll look at the solar irradiance figures. And that's slide 49. If we click on that, Eric, I'll talk about that and look at this. Now, solar irradiance, they've been able to determine it by old records and things like that since 1600 to now, has been steadily increasing. You can see that. Now, there are three peaks, well, four counting the one of 1610 or so, but there are three dark blue peaks and then a bunch of little smaller light blue peaks. Now, those smaller ones are solar sunspot cycles. And if you notice around 1720 to 1800, those sunspot numbers, or, you know, the height of them, the depth of them, is small compared to everything after 1800. And as we approach where we are now from 1960 onward, the swing between sunspot number peaks and lows is bigger. Those those triangular portions above the below the dark blue line are bigger, taller, deeper. Now, this stopped plotting in 2014, but we know it's gone up, and the brightness from the sun is in a lot of frequencies, a lot of spectra. The ultraviolet is the one that really hurts us, and we're seeing it. There's just no question about it. That's one of the main things that's causing this snow blindness almost when we go out in the outside during the summer here. Now, slide 48 is from a neutron monitor facility, OLU, and this is neutron counts. Now, you'll see in the bottom graph, you will see from 1965 till 2019, the neutron counts. Now, part of this, I have to say, is due to increased detection instrumentation, so we're detecting more accurately the neutron counts. But if you look at it, 2009 and 10, the neutron count hitting us was really high. And then in 2019 and 20, it's approaching that, and it may punch through that limit we've got now. Neutrons are pretty interesting particles from space and even from our sun. They hit our atmosphere, and they are so energetic, and their magnetic field is so minimal, I mean really minimal, it hits and it forms a cascade shower of all kinds of subparticles. It's like a particle accelerator hitting our upper atmosphere and breaking atoms apart in the air and making all kinds of other byproducts and radiation coming down. So the more of those we have, it's not good. If you lose your ozone layer and the ionosphere, this and other radiation things we won't be shielded against to any degree at all. So I'm watching that. These are the two things so far they've been able to find, is the solar irradiance, the light, total light output of the sun is going up and consistently for, three or four decades. And the neutron count hitting us is going up. And you can look at in the Wikipedia stuff and read about neutrons. I think that you'll see the picture once you dig through all the technical stuff.
I just like to say ULU. It's a cool name. ULU. ULU. All right. Neutron monitor. Yeah. Interesting. All right.
Now, war situations. Slide 50 is a picture of a naval vessel. It's a mobile sea base for helicopters and particular types of aircraft that need to have support out at sea when we're fighting an offshore war. For SEAL team things and stuff like that, they're probably already using this. They're just making it known now. But this, among other things, are being done technologically to get our military ready for a full-scale war. And I would say that this one here is either for the Middle East or for the China Seas, somewhere in that area. If you look over to the right of it, we now are looking at the problems in India. Slide 51 shows an article where the U.S. is going to deploy troops from Germany that are already there over to India because of the rising tensions with China. And these aren't just minor. I mean, China has killed 13 Indian soldiers. And this is a very important place, as I said last week. You've got to watch the Chinese being able to gain access to the Middle East oil fields through that area.
If I recall correctly, you were talking about the Himalayan mountain.
Yeah, passes. Yeah, that's right. I've been there. This one here, let's see here. Malaysia, blah, blah, blah. It does tell you what part. I don't think it's it starts with a K, this part here, but it's up in that area. Let's see. Maybe it's up there. At the Galwan Valley, in northern India. And it's in a subdivision or territory or province of India called Ladakh, L-A-D-A-K-H. And that's where all this is taking place. Now, if you go back up to the show images page, up to slide 55, you will see that the the Indians have, they're guarding the pass. They're getting ready to have shooting war on the ground. And if you look at slide 56, this shows the change from May this year to June 23rd satellite images over that area we just looked at in close up there. This shows you how much armament and fortifications they're putting into that. That's the next slide over, Eric. What number is that? 56. Look at, in a month, they've put all this troop stuff in there, equipment. They're getting ready for a shoot 'em up.
Wow, look at that. Look at the difference. Okay. That's,
all right.
Do you need more evidence? I mean, do we need additional evidence? Obviously, they build up their evidence by itself. All right.
I think before all this is over, you get into the tribulation, that India and China will come to a peace agreement so that India can go along with China as far as military forces and go together down into the oil fields to fight the Battle of Armageddon. That, you know, the kings of the East, that 100 million, 200 million man army, it's got to have more than just China. So I think India will join them and give them through pass, you know, pass through the Himalayas into the oil fields. This is why this is important to me anyway, is to watch the strategy of the Chinese here, where they're headed.
And this goes in the article, by the way, that is associated with the earlier the panel. U.S. deployed troops from Germany to India. If you read the article, it gives you some great history going back to 1950. So that's very, very good. Yeah, but can you imagine seeing a couple hundred million China men coming after you? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, maybe I do. Why the Bible says that in the Armageddon battle at the end of the tribulation that there will be blood to the horse's bridle depth? Why would they have that many horses there? Is it EMP attacks and counterattacks and things like that so that everybody's electronics are pretty much screwed and the tanks don't work and this and that, so they get horses? And that would explain it then.
That's true.
The Indians, the Chinese, and the Himalayas, they've certainly got horses there, and they've got horse brigades as well. So
I'm sure the horses aren't too happy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Well, what are we here?
We got about 2.5 minutes.
All right, well, slide 57, you can look at later. That's Pompeo just reiterating that he's putting troops to counter China and the Indian standoff they've got. An interesting thing for those of us that are getting on a bit and our eyesight is not quite as brilliant as it used to be, you know that the color blue is not exactly, you know, things fade or fuzz when you look at blue rather than red. And I found this article, slide 52. It's a frequency of red light. And in the UK, what they did was they were having people stare into this light, this red light, for a period of time, about 3 minutes a day. And it started improving their sight because it caused changes in their mitochondria in their eye so that it filtered out more of the blue. So it gave you sharper vision. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's probably going to cost $3,000 or something, but, you know, it's just a red light that you look into, and apparently, you know, it helps you. It helps your eyes to, you know, get back to better focus and things like that. You've seen the ads on TV where they got those LED, red LEDs that even regrows hair when they stimulate the mitochondria in your scalp with it.
Yeah.
That's in that article. Well,
yeah.
That's in this article too. So anyway, have a quick read of that later, guys.
All right.
There was one last thing here, slide 53. It's a picture of a spiral galaxy that is quite unusual, in my opinion anyway. Most spiral galaxies, you have barred arms, you know, you can see three or four spirals coming out. This thing here, for some reason or another, is not even making stars in the center of it. They're all on the outer filaments of this thing like this, which is unusual. The Hubble telescope picked this up. And they call that those close little miniature arms that aren't really separated yet, they call them flocculate spiral arms. And you can read that in the article.
Interesting. I direct everyone to standeo.com. That is standeo.com. It'll be in the program description box, the HagmanReportLive.com. Stan, I want to say thank you so very much. And get some rest, brother. I know you've been at it, you and Holly. Really appreciate everything you do. God bless you, my friend.
You too. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
Folks, that'll do it. I want everyone to have a great, great night. And you know, when you hit your knees tonight, give thanks to God that you're still here, and be thankful for what you have. Pray for our nation. Pray for our families. Pray for peace. Just pray. Good night.